Psalms 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all the offerings and accept the burnt offering, Selah. Grant thee according to thy own heart and fulfill all my counsel. You will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know, I am the Lord, saith his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down, fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call.
Good morning. For our first hymn today, we'll sing hymn number 36, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, and we'll stand to sing hymn number 36.
Thank you.
please remain standing for prayer. Mr. Steve Lewis will give us the prayer.
Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you praise. You are our mighty fortress. Oh, Lord, as we gather today, we count it a privilege and an honor to come to your house of worship. Dear Lord, we pray that we do have a heart of worship that we come. You have our undivided attention. Lord, we ask you to bless our service today. We pray, Lord, and anybody today that doesn't come to this personal stage, we will open our hearts up and allow you to come in. And Lord, as we come in and do today, Lord, we ask that we'll bless our service and be able to please you. Pray now in the name of Jesus.
Good morning and welcome to Morrow Bible Church. And today our pastor is away with his family, visiting her mom and dad and her family in Kansas. So we want to make sure we give them our prayers and bring them before the throne of God, that God would lift them up and encourage them and strengthen them and give them peace and comfort. We're glad to have with us today George Bailey, Pastor George Bailey, and he will be bringing us the message today. Thank you. And it's made quite a trip up here from Columbus for him, so we just need to give him our ardent thanksgiving and pray for him as he brings us the message today. Please be with us again tonight at 6:30. Pastor Bailey will be with us again, bringing a message from Titus on the blessed hope. We are looking forward to that. And remember, Wednesday night prayer meeting, I think Brother Steve Lewis will be here if Pastor Gausman is still sick. Him and both Pastor Gausman and Bev are both still under the weather, so we need to have our prayers centered towards them also for God's healing hand upon them and through them. And we just give thanksgiving for them and their work that they have here done for us. And so please remember to pray, and not just on Wednesday night. That's not the only time we pray, is it? We pray every day, morning, noon, and night. And so we always bring our hearts and our minds to God because we fear him and we love him and we want to do what he says. So always pray. And so Wednesday night is a special time that we can come together and do that if you are able. Just a reminder that August 17th is elders meeting at 6:30 p.m. September 5th, Sunday School Promotion Sunday. So we want to remember that. And that's a special time every year that we have. And we are thankful for that. So remember to be here and participate in that. We want to remember the fall retreats for the ladies' weekend, September 10th through 11th. And you can read through this information that is given to us there. Also, if you like cucumbers, we have lots of cucumbers. They're out in the foyer. And thanks to Tom and Penny Evans, who are still doing a garden. And we just thank you for bringing those in. Tom brought those in tomorrow or yesterday. And so if you like cucumbers and you like to make cucumber salad, so now's the time to do that. We thank you for that. So there's still gospel packages out in the entryway here, just outside the door, if you want to spread the gospel. And it's a nice tool to share with your neighbors. So we have those available right outside the door here. And just a reminder that the pastor is planning a baptismal, and we want to... we'd like to baptize anybody who wishes to be baptized and go through the foundation study. That is very important. And so and whoever would like to be baptized, I'm sure that we would be glad to have you do that and show your devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ through his example to us. So that's kind of the... announcements today. We want to remember Daniel and Heather Wiley, their anniversary. It's at 21 years, did you say? 22? And so just remember them and the birthdays. Happy birthday, Ellie. It's your birthday also coming up. And so Pat Ogden, remember her and her birthday. And Sue, you're going to have a birthday coming up soon. So just to remember the birthdays that are here. And looks like one of the higher girls. And I think that's it for the announcements today. And so thank you for bearing with me. First time ever doing this. So I hope I did an all right job. And so we're ready for the next hymn.
For our next hymn, we'll turn to hymn number 236 and sing Amazing Grace. Hymn 236.
So our scripture reading is found in Psalm chapter 110, and it's on the back of your bulletin. So if you would stand with me, and we will read responsively. And so the congregation reads in bold. Psalm 110:1, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness, from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth.
The Lord has sworn, and will not repent. Thou art
increased
forever
after
the order of Melchizedek.
The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath.
He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places of the dead bodies.
And together on the last verse, he shall drink of the brook of the way, therefore shall he lift up the head. You may be seated.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the freedom that allows us to gather here today. Not in fear, as many places in the world. We thank thee, Father, for thy goodness, thy grace, and thy mercy. We thank thee for the open church doors, the open Bible. Father, we pray that that will continue in this nation, Sometimes as we look at what is happening, we wonder. But Lord, I pray that Thou will enable us to put our trust and our confidence in Thee day by day. Lord, I pray for Pastor Gossman. I lift him to Thee and ask that Thou would bring healing to his body. I thank Thee for him. I pray that Thou would bless him and his family. I think of Pastor Howard and his family. I thank God for them as well. I thank Thee for the heritage that he has in believing parents, godly parents. And I pray that Thou would bless him and this local assembly as they seek to serve Thee in this particular part of the world, in Morrow County. And Father, there are some people in this congregation whom I would not know the names, but Thou dost know who they are, and I thank Thee for that. But I lift them to Thee. They may have some kind of illness or sickness or some weakness. And Lord, I pray that Thou would give them comfort. And I pray that it would please Thee to touch them and bring healing to their bodies, whether by the means of medical aid or by the means of Thy power alone. We believe Thou art able to do far more than we can ask or think. And so we ask Thee on behalf of these. And Lord, there may be some here today who have some heartache or some difficulty going on within their heart and soul. If I pray that Thou would speak to that one or those ones that are in some kind of a need in this hour. And I ask that Thou would lift them up, bless them, encourage them, strengthen them, and enable them to regain the joy of the Lord if they've lost it, the joy of Thy salvation. I pray, Father, that Thou would bless us in this day. Draw us nigh to Thyself, and I pray that Thou would use my voice to speak Thy truth, to speak Thy word. And I pray that it may accomplish the purpose to which Thou hast sent it. In the name of Christ we ask it. Amen.
All right, our last hymn before the message will be hymn number 126, Rock of Ages. And let's stand to sing hymn number 126. Pastor Bailey to come and now give the message.
I think I've made one mistake already. I think I was supposed to have you stand for the pastoral prayer, but I guess you could hear it while you're seated. I think I need to apologize for my voice. To me, it sounds very hoarse. I don't know if it sounds that way to you, but that's how it sounds to me, and I didn't realize it, I guess, until I got here and started hearing my voice. Ordinarily, it's, well, I don't know, it's ever pleasant, but it's so good to be here. I count this church as one of my favorite places. And if this church was a little closer, I might even be attending here instead of the Westerville Bible Church. But when I left Calvary, I weighed the options, And not having a house down in Morrow County, I decided maybe a local church would be the Westerville Bible Church. And that's a good church, but I've always enjoyed and loved the Morrow Bible Church. And I'm not just trying to flatter you. I mean that. I guess it's a country church. And that's kind of what I had when I was at the All Grace Bible Church. We were out in the country, and I think about three farmers there, but it was still just like down home. And I don't know about you, but I kind of like that. So I hope you all enjoy yourself here, learn to love one another, and pray for one another. Just be a blessing and a help to each other. I've been reading my Bible through for many years. One time when Pastor Fox was at Calvary, on the spur of the moment, he just said, "How many times have you read it through?" Startled me. I said, 20, 30? I didn't know. I'd have to stop and think about that. But it may be 30 or 40 years now that I've read my Bible through. I was challenged by Carl Johnson. I read my Bible before, but I can remember him making this. And how many here remember Carl Johnson? Anybody? Oh, I see a few. He hasn't been around for a while now. I used to have him every other year at the All Grace Bible Church. But he said, "I'd hate to stand before my Lord someday and say I didn't have time for your book." Stop and think about that. Someday I'm going to stand before the Lord. And so are you. You're going to stand, period. He is the judge. God has committed all judgment to Him, God the Father. But I would hate to have to put my head down and say, "Lord, I just didn't have time for your book." And what I've found over the years, as people come to Christ, if they will get into the Bible and read, that'll make a difference in their life. And you'll be able to see that difference. I can think of two men right now, way years ago back at All Grace Bible Church. I've been going from there over 30 years. It doesn't seem possible. Lived in Columbus now that same amount of time. That doesn't seem possible. But there were two men. And in school, many times the girls, and all you ladies can rejoice in this, are ahead of the fellas. Did I hear any amen from the women? Sometimes the fellas don't like to study or read. I don't know. Girls mature sooner than fellas. At least that's what I've been told. And I'm inclined to think that's true. But both of these men, thank you, sir. I just had a lozenge in my mouth, and so that helped. But thank you very much. You're a kind soul. At my advanced age, I need all the help I can get. What was I saying now? You see, that's another thing. The memory. I have a good memory. It's just short. That was something Carl Johnson said about me many, many years ago, and that was true. But getting back, reading my Bible, and I read now, the last 2, 3, 4, 5 years, I read the Old Testament all the way through. And I read the New Testament twice. So that means by the end of June, I have to finish the New Testament. And I have, and I'm into the second reading of that. But I'm retired or fired. I don't know which is the proper word to say. I've got lots more time on my hand. I think I read my Bible more now than I did ever before. And it's amazing. And I don't know what you know about neo-orthodoxy, but I'm going to make a statement that may sound like I'm neo-orthodox, and I'm not. I am definitely not that, because they believe that whatever speaks to you authoritatively or kind of jumps at you is the Word of God. I believe the whole book is the Word of God. I believed that in my liberal seminary when I was there. And that's another story which I'm not going to talk about. But I was reading my Bible through, and I saw, speaking of Jesus, this phrase in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, Jesus endured the cross, despising the shame. And I got to thinking about that. What does it, I know what it means, endured the cross, but despising the shame. And the King James says that. The English Standard Version says that. I didn't check any other versions. By the way, I've read maybe 8 or 9 translations all the way through. You say, well, why would you waste your time doing that? Just to see what they say. Just to see how they say it. And to make me think a little bit. I'm not recommending that for you, but that's something I have done. Endure. He endured the cross. Literally, to remain or stay under. He endured the cross. If you would have had the power that he had, would you endure the cross? I thought many times, I don't know if I would. He could have stayed on the cross and spoke the word and killed every one of them. He could have done that. He could have come. They taunted him when he was on the cross. Come down if you're the Son of God. Come down if you're the Messiah. Come down. He could have. But he endured the cross. He stayed upon that cross. For me. For you. And today I hope you appreciate that. I hope, if you think of nothing else for my being here today, I trust that will come to have maybe a little more meaning for you. He stayed on that cross for my sins, for your sins. Death had to be paid because the wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die, Ezekiel says. In the garden, God said, in the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. They died that day. Now, not physically, but spiritually, because when God came down, and apparently they were used to visiting with God in the garden, they hid. Spiritually, they were dead. They had violated what God... Just one, no, don't do this commandment. Just one. And I don't dare go back and talk about that. But I thought, would I have stayed on that cross if I had the power that he had? And I don't think so. But he did. He did. Despising the shame. To look down, to despise, to scorn, to treat with contempt. That's one meaning. Care nothing for, disregard, be unafraid of. It's a compound word in the Greek, to think, and then there's a preposition in the front of it, kata, down, to think down. Now, that doesn't say much, to think down. Sometimes the word contemn, when I used to see that word contemn, I thought it meant condemn, but it doesn't, no. Despise would be one of the synonyms for contemn. I think maybe the best word here is disregard. He disregarded the shame. Now, the cross was a shame. Criminals died on the cross. Crucifixion was here long before the Romans. I don't know how many, maybe millions of people. The Romans put a lot of people on the cross. See, you've heard of Pax Romana, Roman peace. Yeah, they know how to keep peace. They killed their enemies. They took care of them. So that they couldn't do anything. And they had the power to do it. He disregarded the shame. What shame? Well, the cross. I've already mentioned that. I want to quickly go back to Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26. If you want to turn with me, you're welcome to. You don't have to. I know when I hear the preacher say, you don't need to turn, that's when I'm going to turn. You say, you must be a stubborn hillbilly. How did you guess that? I was born in Kentucky. That makes me a hillbilly. But my wife, who's been, she'll be gone 9 years come October. when we'd cross the Ohio River and I'd start singing, "Oh, the sun shines bright on my old Kentucky. You're a Buckeye, you're a Buckeye." Because we came here when I was just a baby and I don't really remember much about it at that time. But she was right, I'm a Buckeye. But I never forgotten my roots down there in the hills. I have lots of relatives down there that talk a little differently than I do. I know that. Matthew chapter 26, verse 59. That doesn't seem right. It isn't. Now the chief priests and elders and all of the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. They found none, yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none, apparently none that were credible. But he had to endure the false things that were being said about him. Let me read on to verse 62. And said, "This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days." Now he said that, but he meant the temple of his body. He wasn't talking about that temple. Later in Matthew 24, he told his disciples, they were, "Look at this magnificent building." And he said, "It's all coming down." And in 70 AD, which would be about 40 years later approximately, it did come down. It was destroyed by the Romans. But Jesus held his peace. The high priest, aren't you going to answer? Answered nothing. "I adjure you by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." And so Jesus saith unto him, "Thou hast said." I think maybe the Greek makes it a little clearer, but "thou hast said." You've said it. But what he said afterwards, "I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven." Well, this really upset them. See, to them, he was just a man, just like in many liberal churches today. That's all Christ is, just a man, just a human being. He was a human being, yes. But if he was not God, a very God, he could not die for my sin and the sins of the world. He had to be more than just a man. He had to be God. When he was in the garden, and he prayed, and you remember he took Peter, James, and John, and they were supposed to pray with him, I guess, and they were sleeping, and 3 times. And I have some other thoughts about that I'll not even say, because I preached a sermon based on that one time about the name it and claim it crowd. If you have any familiarity with that idea going around, name it and claim it. If you pray for it more than once, that's not right. Jesus prayed the same words. And I said, I would rather follow what Jesus did and said than anybody else today, period. You say, "You're a stubborn fellow." Amen. I'm glad you noticed that. Matthew 26, 67. Then did they spit in his face. Isn't that about the most degrading thing that you can think of? To have someone spit in your face? The Son of God spit in his face and buffeted him. That means they hit him with their fists. And others smote him with the palms of their hands. The Son of God being treated like this, saying, "Prophesy unto us, thou, O Christ, who is he that smote thee?" Mocking him. That's probably enough. He endured the cross, disregarding, despising the shame. And it was a horrible shame. He was treated less than a human being there. But he endured the cross, despising the shame. When he was hanging on the cross, they mocked him. I'm not going to read any more verses. Matthew 27:39-44. This is the one of whom the Bible says in the Old Testament, Isaiah 45:23, and Romans 14:10-11. Romans 14:10-11 says this, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written," and apparently the writing was from Isaiah 45:23, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God." And Philippians 2:9-10 also say the same thing. The context of Hebrews 12:3 shows that this was written to Hebrew believers, Jewish Christians, to encourage them in their Christian walk and their life. When I say walk, I mean their life. You know that. This church is well taught. I know that because I know who your first pastor was and I know who your pastor is now. I heard them both preach. In this chapter, which begins, "We, wherefore, seeing," and as Graydon Cox used to say, when you see a wherefore or a therefore, you have to stop and see what it's there for. And what it's usually going back to is something that preceded the statement. Now, we are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every, and so forth. Who is that crowd of witnesses? Who is that crowd of witnesses? Well, I've heard preachers say that there are people in heaven peering over the battlements down here at us. Have you ever heard that, anybody? I have. I read it in a little paper one time by somebody, and you'd know the name if I would give it to you. I got to thinking. My wife has been gone almost 9 years. And if she was up there looking down on me, she'd be in despair. She would be in despair. You say, well, can't you cook? Yes, I can cook. I'm not as good as she could. Clean house. I did it while she was still living. But after her death, I was a mess. I don't know if you've ever heard me say that before or not, but I was. I was crying in church. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. People say, you have a right to grieve. I didn't think so. I thought I was supposed to be so strong that shouldn't bother me that much. But you know what? I'm a human being. And it bothered me. It bothered me. I've learned a lot about marriage since the death of my wife. And so I would counsel each couple that is here to enjoy one another and be good to one another and love one another the very best you know how. Because probably, unless the rapture comes, one of you is going to go first. And I assumed it would be me because men always... You visit a nursing home, what do you see there? A lot of women. A man or two or three sprinkled in there. And I just assumed that George would die first. But he didn't. And he's lived on almost 9 years past her death. And I've discovered that sitting across from me, nobody's there anymore. I'm all alone. And I think if she were looking down over the battlements of heaven, she'd wonder about this fellow. She'd think, what's wrong with you? Don't you know that to be absent with the body is to be present with the Lord? That's the thing that finally, that and another thing, which I'm not even going to mention to you. Finally, it dawned on me one day, she would not want to come back and live with me now. I find that hard to believe, you know. But I wouldn't either. If I was in the presence of the Lord, I'm done with the trials and the troubles and the pains and the heartaches and all that's going on down here. I'm finished with it. Why would I want to come back? I wouldn't. Didn't you love your wife? Yes, I loved her. I'm glad that God provided her for me. 56 years. 56 years. That wherefore, I think, goes back to chapter 11 of Hebrews. The witnesses that he's talking about, the cloud of witnesses, that are all those Old Testament saints. And I don't have time to talk about that. I'm just going to dogmatically say that's what it is talking about. You had the witness of those people who by faith did certain things. I preached a sermon one time on Samson, because how did Samson get into the Hall of Fame? That puzzled me. That bothered me. But he did what God raised him up to do, to begin to deliver the Israelites from the Philistines. He fulfilled God's purpose. Now, he made a mess of life, yes. But he fulfilled God's purpose. And so I begin to look at Samson a little bit differently, even though I still don't maybe condone the way he lived his life. But he's there. He's there. And so, a few verses, chapter 11, 13 and 14. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came, well, that would go back to Abraham, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, and he had prepared for them a city, and that city is described in the book of Revelation. The holy city coming down from God, and the description is beyond my mind to take in. It's a good place. It's a wonderful place. I know that. And so, these are heroes of the faith. And it seems to me this is what the writer, as he continues on, is talking about, seeing we are compassed or surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses. See verse 40 of the chapter 11. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Whatever it is that God has for us, being transformed, changed. The New Testament saints and the Old Testament saints are going to receive together. Do I understand all that? I don't. If somebody can explain it all to me, I'd appreciate it. But I can understand the language well enough to see that. And so, Christ is named here. I should have asked, what time are you used to getting out of here? Anybody want to suggest a time? I can talk forever. I can talk forever, but I won't. I was a pastor for a long time. But anyway, I didn't even pay any attention to what the time was when I got up here. And I see the clock over there. Usually it's back there. But it's over there, and that's fine. I got a watch on also. Title. When brother asked me the other day, what's the title? I'm not very good at titles. I just try to preach what the Bible says. And sometimes I can come up with a title or a topic, but I don't worry about that, I guess. I never did. But the example of Christ, because we're surrounded with this body of witnesses from chapter 11, we're shown the example of Christ. He endured the cross, despising the shame. And down in verse 3, it says, for consider him that endured such contradiction, speaking against, literally, But it's hostility or rebellion against Christ. He endured that. He went through that. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Do you ever get weary? Even serving the Lord? Does it ever get hard sometimes? You know, I marvel at some people that just seem to be on the victory trail all the time. I may not be a very good Christian, because there are times I pray for God's healing of people that are very sick and they're not healed. So obviously, I'm asking God for something that is not His purpose and will. 1 John chapter 5 says, if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if He hears us, we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So if I pray in the will of God, it's there. Jesus spoke something like that also. If you have faith, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed. And I've just never had enough faith to move a mountain like that. I don't even know what would happen, because I probably would have doubts when I said, be removed, mountain. But you see, that's belief. That's confidence. Confidence in what God can do. He can do far more, Ephesians chapter 3, toward the end, than we can ask or think. Far more than we can ask or think. And I guess I'm just a softy. When I see people sick, I'd like to see them healed. I'd like to see them made better. I've had a few surgeries since I've come to Columbus. That's probably a mistake. Chest cut open, scar up here, eyes, knee. Seems to me there's another one, and I'm not here to recite, you know, my scars. So, no comment on that. But there are times, I read in my Old Testament, in the Psalms, that's where I am now, how the psalmist cried out to God. And sometimes, how long, O Lord? How long? I kind of get the feeling that way. Right now, I'm grieved over my nation, my country. And if you're offended by what I'm saying, I'm sorry. But this nation deserves the judgment of God. We as a people have turned our back. Most of the churches, you may never want me to come back. Most of the churches in this country, the pastors had the same kind of education I did. Very liberal. I call it unbelief. That's what it is. Oh, they'll say, oh, yeah, this is the Word of God. But what do they mean by it? I'll give you an illustration. I was an Evangelical United Brethren. I was ordained by the Ohio Sandusky Conference. I was educated in our own seminary in Dayton, Ohio. They said in the discipline, the Book of Discipline of 1959, we believe the Bible, Old and New Testaments, is the Word of God. In 1963, it's every 4 years, they have to put out another one. But that statement, we believe the Bible, the Old and the New Testament, contains the Word of God. One says is, and one says contains. Now, who determines what is contained as the Word of God? The New Orthodox have a formula that, you know, if something jumps at you, oh, yeah, that's the Word of God. I'm finding that more and more of it is jumping at me, but I believe it's all the Word of God. And the preachers that are coming out of that seminary and most of the denominational seminaries had the same training I did. You say, what's the matter? Why didn't you adopt it? Because in 1953, God saved me. Amen. I didn't have a church background. I didn't go to church. I played football. And I played basketball, ran track, did the same. I didn't play football in college. I got smart. These two wrists don't bend very much because of something that happened. And there was another injury or two. So I got smart finally and quit. Not until after I had been taped up and get in there, son. Today, I guess you could probably sue the school system over something like that. But not then. Not then. And so I made a deal with God. I didn't know you didn't make deals with God. I said, if you'll watch over me in that first game, and I'll tell you, we were playing at Toledo School. We'd scrimmaged them 2 years before. And I was scared. Why? I'd played football for 5 years before that. That was my senior year. All I can say is the providence of God was beginning to deal with me. He saved me. Short time after that or sometime. And I went with a Catholic girl in high school, steady. We were talking about getting married. And I remember we were walking one day and I said, you know, I think maybe God's calling me into the ministry. And she said, oh, don't do that. It's going to be hard enough for us. You know, Protestant, Catholic together. And it would have been. Well, God took care of that too. And I'll tell you that particular story. But I heard the Bible preached. I didn't know what the Bible... I believed in heaven and hell, I think. But I didn't know anything. And the young fellow, my age, from Findlay, Ohio, the night I went upstairs to my bedroom and kneeled down and said, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it, is an apostate today. And he was a big help to me that night. Isn't it strange the way things work sometimes? But I believe that God did call me into the ministry. I would have quit a long time ago. People have different concepts of what that call means. Pastors, I'm talking about. And I'm sorry. If I didn't know that God had called me, I would have quit. And some of you might say, hallelujah, that would have been a good thing if you would have quit a long time ago. Okay, where am I going? You can see I've kind of left my outline, and I'm just talking off the top of my head or from my heart, and I hope it's from my heart. You see, that verse 3 says, we're to consider him that endured such contradiction, the speeches that were spoken against him, of sinners against himself, that ye be wearied, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. That's why I ask you. Do you ever get weary? Do you ever feel like quitting or giving up? Christ endured the cross, despising the shame. And now he wants us to endure, to keep on keeping on, to be faithful, to get into this book and read it, to believe it. Whether you understand it or not, there are things I don't understand. I read it every way. It's like that I was chosen before the foundation of the world. I understand the words. Yeah, it's very clear. That makes no sense to me. Now, there are some who say the lost were also chosen before the foundation of the world. My problem with that is there's a verse of Scripture that said God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that is a lie if God foreordained the lost. Would you agree with me? Doesn't matter. I could go elsewhere. But that passage is enough. So how did God elect me from the foundation of the world? That's before the world was here. He knew me, you, each one of us. And if you're here in Christ today, he saved you. He made you a disciple of Jesus Christ. The purpose is that we might grow more like him day by day. Be a witness for him. To live for him. Why? Everything I have is from God. I'm a servant. That's all I am. Just a servant. And I get weary sometimes. I kind of lose heart sometimes, especially in the last almost 9 years. Some of you here understand that. You've lost a wife or you've lost a husband. That is, if you really love that person. I think I've known some families where maybe that was a happy time when a mate died. That wasn't my case. And there are times, I guess, when I kind of get down. And you don't need to feel sorry for me, because you see, this is why that jumped at me. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Now, he goes on to talk about chastisement, chastening. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens, He disciplines. If you are going through something that you might think is chastening or discipline, it's because God loves you. There's a problem, there's a difficulty. And that's what this is talking about. And I was going to spend some time with it, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to tell you right now. And I don't understand all of the ways that God deals with us. I have enough trouble figuring them out for myself. But as a pastor, I went through the death of a spouse both ways. I had a few funerals over the years. I saw other things that took place that were disturbing. We live in a fallen world. A curse is on this world. And it's not going to be made right until Jesus comes back and establishes His kingdom. And that's going to happen. I don't know when. I'll say this. I learned something through this pandemic that we went through. I used to read Revelation chapter 13. How is the beast going to get some kind of control over the world? I think I understand now. Because during this pandemic, Mr. COVID or coronavirus or whatever you want to call it, around the world, governments shut things down. Did they not? Tell me I'm lying if I'm lying. And I thought, that's simple. A crisis. That's all it takes. A crisis. And if you don't get the mark of the beast, and I'm not saying anything about vaccinations. No, I'm not talking about that. But that day is going to come. And we already have the means here because of some of the beast will speak. That we could do that today. We could make a statue speak. We could make this death speak. But I'm not going to be here. And maybe I'll talk a little bit about that tonight. Our blessed hope. Our blessed hope. So, if you're weary, worn out, tired, take heart. Look to Jesus. Trust Him. Rest in Him. And if you need help, talk to a fellow believer. You're here for that purpose. Each one of you can minister, not just the pastor, but each one of you can minister in some fashion to one another. And we can pray for one another. Maybe sometimes you can tell when somebody's down. Lift them up to the Lord. He endured the cross so that we might be able to endure, to go on, to be faithful to Him. And I trust that's what you're seeking to do. And if I've said anything today that might encourage you and help you, I'm glad. And if I said something to discourage you, I'm not so glad about that. But maybe it was something you needed to hear. I don't know. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, Thou dost know the heart of each one of us that is here. And I pray, Father, that it might please Thee to minister to each individual soul. Thou art able to do that. I've marveled many times through the preaching of the Word of God how that Word can deal with people in their own specific difficulties or problems. And so I pray for this congregation. Lord, I ask that Thou would bless them abundantly. And I pray that they might remain faithful to the Word of God until Jesus comes. Give them the grace to endure whatever comes, the strength and the will to do it. In the name of Christ, amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn. I guess I don't know what your practice is. It's been so long since I've been here. But if you have a need and you want to talk to me about anything, I'll be right here.
Thank you, Pastor Bailey. What a great encouragement for us to submit ourselves to our great example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastor Bailey has been with us for a long time, and he's gone through many things. And I think he is telling us that he is yet a servant of God and is a willing instrument of the Holy Spirit. And the song we're about to sing speaks to that. We are about a channel for the Lord Jesus Christ to work in this world. And I appreciate what he said there at the end about showing our compassion for one another and building each other up and helping each other. That is what we're here for. Turn with me to Channels Only in your hymn books, page 160. And please stand while we sing.
Our Father, we thank Thee for being able to be here. And we pray that Thou would go with us and speak to our hearts and minds and accomplish thy good purpose and will. May the blessing of God the Father rest upon each and every one of us. In Christ's name, amen.